Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley-Davidson. Online at wirthharleydavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Tyreek Hill has a little bit of knee tendonitis. We're just kind of pumped the brakes on it. Just showed up today, so... we backed off him. Juan Thornhill has a groin strain, making progress there. Tarvarius Ward, he had a little eye work done in the offseason. It flared up on him. He got poked in it, so we kept him out of there.
A lot of new faces up front. And obviously, I wasn't here during OTA, so it was surprising to see all the new faces. But from what I've seen so far, we have a good unit. They all seem like they're coming together. They all seem like they're, you know, on the same page. And more than anything, we got some size up front, too. So that's exciting as well.
And now, flashing back to where he was in the summer of 91, Todd Lebo.
Yeah, right you are, K-Dog. Right you are. Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro today. Why are you fading the metallic out so fast, Jed?
I hope you enjoyed that. That's the only time you're going to hear it today.
It's James Hetfield's birthday, for
crying
out loud.
And you got your Metallica. Thank Curtis Siebel.
We're going to talk about Metallica all day long. Are you ready?
I'm leaving, then.
You're not leaving. You're here. Happy birthday to James Hetfield. The goat of the rhythm guitar and the singing at the same time.
Not the goat of the rhythm guitar.
And the singing at the same time. Nobody has ever been able to do what he does. Nobody. Playing that fast, singing those songs the whole time. It's amazing. Amazing.
Best rhythm guitar player of all time.
Well, it could be Eddie Van Halen. I know you like answer.
That's my answer.
Yeah, it's good.
He didn't sing.
He didn't sing. He did little harmonies and stuff like that. But Jed is going to rock out James Hetfield riffs all day
long. What he promised.
He promised it. He said, we're doing it. I don't think anyone wants to hear it but me, but we're going to do it, he said.
His love for Metallica.
Did you talk to Jed Marshall, which is me? I did not say those things. It might have been a different
Your name is John Marshall.
I love Metallica.
You remember when James Hetfield got blown up by some pyrotechnics in Montreal, when I saw him at Arrowhead Stadium with Guns N' Roses. John Marshall, the guitar tech, played guitar for them.
Good for
your namesake.
That's you.
Sure.
You are the one who did the thing that needed to be done.
How could he not be a Metallica fan, man?
He doesn't like anything.
I like plenty of things. I just don't like Metallica.
If it ain't Fish or Humphries, man, I don't think I can get into it. Is that right?
That's not true at all. I like a lot of different music.
And somehow I get categorized as the elitist.
I'm gladly admit that I'm a music elitist.
He loves that. Anyway, happy birthday to James. I know he's listening. He listens every day on the app. Nah, probably not.
He does.
And now he's shaking his head at both of us, Curtis.
Jed doesn't like fun. You need to embrace
today.
Other people are enjoying themselves. I better put an end to that.
Curtis spent most of yesterday singing, so I don't know if we need a repeat performance.
Let's sing, man.
Not most of yesterday.
You sang in at least three different segments.
It's okay.
Singing's good. Briscoe brings out the song in people.
He does.
He really does. Especially when he doesn't know the words to anything or that's not the Panic at the Disco.
A bit of breaking Royals news. Shortstop Adalberto Mondesi will begin his rehab assignment tonight at AAA Omaha.
He's going on a rehab assignment.
He's coming back soon, any day now.
Didn't go to a rehab last time. He's going to a rehab this time.
Are they forcing it to get the bobblehead? So he's here for the bobblehead?
1 week from tonight.
That's going to be the debut for the bobblehead because they know he'll start a game, but will he finish? I got to switch my final four for Alec Lewis.
What we said the bobblehead would be last week, what we were saying on Friday? The Mondesi bobblehead, they give it to you, and then 2 weeks later they take it, or 10 days later they take it back.
Or they give it to you before the game, and then the seventh inning they come to
you. They give it to you, here it is, and then they come to your house and take
it back
in 10 days.
They take it.
Keep it for about 2 months.
And it's never broken.
No.
It's just a little off.
It doesn't quite work.
It doesn't work.
They give it back to you.
Partially bobbles. That's about right. Breaking news, that's wonderful. Adalberto Mondesi.
Don't say breaking.
Yeah, not breaking. Strange news.
New news.
That's all news.
Breaking. Isn't all news kind of breaking?
It's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. It's news. It's new stuff. That's the
olds.
Idea.
Breaking olds.
Of the deal. So, you know, we'll see.
Although most of the time when you see breaking news on news or ESPN, it's not really breaking news. It's news you've known for more than a day at least.
They don't make the olds anymore either, do they? The Oldsmobile's gone. Day's gone by. Goodbye, Cutlass. Had two of them. My first two cars, Cutties.
Did ye?
I don't have those anymore. My name is Todd Lebo, and I'm going to be here for the rest of the week. I'll be here all week. Courtesy Bolt will
tip
be here
Barnwick
all
staff.
Week as well. Tip Jed Marshall. He's a big tipper. He's always been a big tipper. Always. He'll be here as well as we move along. Today, we have a very packed show, fun show, lots of different topics going on today. We're going to talk some Chiefs with our good friend Stephen St. John, live from St. Joseph, Missouri, at Missouri Western State University, Chiefs training camp. Stephen has been up there for a couple of days now. I know he had a nice family meal last night. He told me he was going to go to a Japanese steakhouse. We'll see how that went. Did he catch the shrimp when they threw it? How was the family on that? Did everyone catch the shrimp? We'll find out.
Did they do an onion ring mount volcano?
Yeah, did they? My guess is they did, because that's what they always do.
Yeah.
But it was a little extra long practice today, probably 20 minutes longer than normal. I don't think it was scheduled to go long or whatever. It is what it is. They don't really give us an end time. They give us a start time. And they've usually been over by about 11, and they were a little bit later today, so they're out there getting the work done. They'll practice every day this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the only week of training camp where that is the case. So Stephen will be up there all week. We will talk to him in the in this hour. Next segment, we'll catch up with Stephen. Chiefs Hall of Famer, which I think we've said we can say that. He's not inducted yet, but we got a date. He broke that right here on the program a couple of weeks ago. Chiefs Hall of Famer Tim Grunhard will join us from parts unknown. Not sure again. Back
from
in Florida.
Road.
Could be anywhere.
And Charles Kuralt will be from the road.
He's on the road somewhere. We'll talk to him. We're also going to talk to Jackson County Executive Frank White about Fred Arbanis Golf Course is open. Mm-hmm. That's where our golf tournament is next Tuesday. Today is the last day you can sign up. The last day you can sign up is today. You can do it right on our website, 810WHB.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fred Arbanis had some turf issues for a while, but it has been back open for a month, and it is in great, great shape. For $108.10, you get a cart, golf, welcome bag, drink tickets, breakfast and lunch, and all the fun that you could ever have out there. Because Jason Anderson is going to be back in town, and he's going to be out there broadcasting, because what we like to do more than anything else is to play golf while he works. It's going to be really, really cool. So that's going to happen next Tuesday, 8:10, August 10th. Get it? 8:10.
Oh, hey, that's...
At Fred Arbanis Golf Course out in my neck of the woods. There will not be an after party at my house. Sorry, you're not welcome. Nobody come to my home. Or before. There will be no breakfast served, but you can get signed up today. We got to finish today with the sign-up, so you can go right now to 810WHB.com to get signed up for our annual golf tournament. And at 4 o'clock, we will talk to Alec Lewis, as we said before. We'll talk to him about Adalberto Mondesi, I'm sure, and what this assignment is going to need. The Royals are back in action, still smarting from their losing streak in Toronto over the weekend. We'll see if they can kind of get rocking and rolling again. They haven't been the same since the trade deadline.
Not the easiest place to get yourself well.
No?
Comiskey Park.
No? Not good?
No.
That's
that,
the
it'll always be
guaranteed
Comiskey
rate.
Park. They're not paying me a dime.
It's a G rate. I've been there.
It's Comiskey.
I've done been there. I went there a few years ago.
I went to the seventh game ever played there.
When it was all tell?
Back then? Maybe it was just called Comiskey Park.
Yeah, it was Comiskey 2.
Yeah.
Right? They called it Comiskey 2. And
you could stand on the third base side and look over into the old Comiskey, because the first base side, they just torn down the one wall. So you could look in and see three sides of the old Comiskey were still up.
A few years ago, my family and I went to Chicago, and we ended up going to a White Sox game because the Cubs were out of town, and we had some time. I'm like, let's just go down to a game. And we went down to a game. We did about five innings, and then we left. But when you go out that left field side, they do still have home plate from the old one, so you can see that now. Yeah. So I've been there, and I don't need to go back, but I've been there. I did it.
It's a cool view. I mean, looking back at downtown.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
It's a long ways away from downtown.
That thing does not look anything like it did 30 years ago. The coloring, they've completely, it was all blue and
new
white.
Seats and everything.
Yeah, everything. It looks better.
I tried to get all smart when we were there. I said, you know, we'll just buy some tickets upstairs. We'll just walk around the park and see lots of places. They don't let you do that. You're upstairs, you're upstairs. You know, it's like that used to be at the K.
Yeah,
you know, you had bought a GA ticket, there was a gate. Mm-hmm. You had to sneak across, you know. You can try to, even if you had the expensive ticket. Now, you can't come out to GA. The gatekeeper sitting there.
What?
Yeah. And that's the way Comiskey was. Like, yeah, you have an upstairs ticket. You can't come downstairs. I just wanted to go walk around.
Widest concourses I'd ever seen. That was the first time I'd seen a concourse. It was that wide on the... That's how it is
right,
the UK
smart,
now,
yeah.
But back then, you're like, whoa, hey,
this is
lots
nice.
Of room.
They got an elbow room here. Lots of room for the White Sox to hit the ball because they do that pretty well. So we'll see if the Royals get going. That's our conversation with Alec Lewis at 4 o'clock. We'll tell you what you need to know at 5. And Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports will join us in the 5 o'clock hour as well to talk college football. Bob Bowlesby, it's been reported, is having conversations now with the Pac-12 about not joining or anything. I think they're talking more about schedule kind of alliances. There was talk, gosh, 8 or 10 years ago that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were going to do that. They were going to like have a little scheduling alliance to where you automatically would play as your non-con Power 5. You would have a Pac-12 team in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what the Big 12 is looking at right now. I think they're trying to keep this league together, and I don't think the Pac-12 wants any part of 8 Big 12 teams that stretch from Lubbock to West Virginia in their league.
No.
I don't think.
I would doubt that.
I don't think so. But we'll talk to
Seems
Ben Kercheval
unlikely.
About that. And as I was preparing my notes to talk to Ben Kercheval, today is August the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So this week is the week that the Big Ten put their schedule out last year. We're in the middle of a pandemic, or the beginning of the pandemic. The middle of trying to figure out how to have sports. You know, baseball was playing. Soccer was back.
Been away. Baseball had been about a week.
Yeah, and we had the NBA was back mm-hmm. playing in Orlando in mm-hmm. the bubble. I think the NHL was just starting their double bubble up north about this time. And this was the week that the Big Ten put their schedule out, and they said, here's our schedule. And then next week was the week they said, all right, forget about that schedule we put out. We're not playing football. August 11th was when all those stories came out. So it's a week from tomorrow. All the stories came out that football was off in the Big Ten. And they thought everyone was going to follow suit. And then everyone else was like, nah. Hang on. Let's figure it out for a while. And it just kind of struck me how crazy. I mean, this has been, if you start with last March, one of the craziest years ever. But if you just started with last August,
yeah.
We're talking about one of the crazy those
yep.
couple weeks of college football on leagues saying, yeah, we're in, no, we're out. I mean, the story I read that was from Dennis Dodd, who's a great reporter, from August 11th last year, says Big Ten football's out looking for spring 21 schedule. You know, that was the thing that mm-hmm. was going to happen. And it didn't take them long after the other leagues started playing to go, we probably should play some football.
Yeah, and I always felt at the time that they anticipated that the Big 12 and the SEC and ACC would follow suit.
And what we're learning
and when
more
they
and
didn't,
more is
they went, oh, crap, we shouldn't have done that.
The SEC doesn't care what other people right. are doing. That's what we're learning
right.
more and more as we go along. So they ended up completing a college football season, as kind of staggered as it was. It happened. And just having those things happen probably saved college athletic departments because, as you recall, back at the very beginning in March when the pandemic happened, nobody got their March Madness money. And that's the money
uh-huh.
for college basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great for Allen Fieldhouse to have 16,300 fans and all that. That's rare. Most places don't have that. There's some TV money that comes through. But the big part of the TV money is
the tournament.
It's like Major League Baseball. Oh, it's great that Fox has a game and TBS has a game and you've got a little, you know, Bally Sports, whatever. But they all want the big chunk of ALCS, NLCS, World Series money. That pays for everything. And basketball lost their dough.
They were essentially furloughed.
And if you can't get that money and then pile on top of that, oh, we're not going to have any college football regular season money or postseason money, which would have been the case if they said, oh, well, let's try to play in the spring. I mean, college athletics could have been toast, I guess. So I think they needed to play, and they did. They got that part of it done. But even since then, now we've got teams leaving, the Big 12. I mean, this wasn't on anyone's radar. So it's been a wild I don't have to tell you guys. It's been a wild year and a half, and it just seems to kind of get crazier as it goes along because you kind of think you're through some of the stuff, and then now, you know, numbers are up, and there's questions about whether you should get vaxxed or not vaxxed, and football players are making rap songs about it and not wanting to talk about it, and the NFL is forcing people without forcing people who are their players to get vaccinated. And I think, you know, we'll see how it goes once we get camp going for a lot of these. Our local schools are getting into camp, and they've been trying to hit these vaccine numbers for their football players. We'll see where they go when they report to camp. We'll start getting some more numbers about it.
We're not done with the drama.
No, we're not done. But we continue to just last week, Clark Hunt says there's, you know, he learned last year you don't look forward and say that something's going to happen. They said they're still anticipating having 100% capacity at Arrowhead if they can. Today, the same quote came out of Pittsburgh. You know, they had their ownership available today. They'd like to have 100% capacity. I don't know if they will or they won't. Is the reason they will or they won't going to be because they're told by cities that they can't, or that fans will tell them, nah, I don't want to go because I don't want to go, right? Because there are as many people who don't have any fear of going to a crowded place. There are plenty who would love to go to a Chiefs game who maybe don't feel comfortable yet because they don't feel like enough people are vaccinated to go out there and sit with them all, even though it's outside. I don't know what the answer is going to be with that. I do not know. But I know right now our protocols are still in place for what we're doing in River Falls. It's only been 10 years.
It's only been that decade.
What we're doing, I mean, we still have to get, I have another COVID test set for Friday. I have to get tested to go up there and be part of the 2M tier, and we have to be vaccinated and wear contact tracers. That stuff's still going on. They haven't told us anything's changed there. I would think, and they're still allowing fans to come up to St. Joseph and do the deal. So I don't know if they're just kind of, you know, ignoring it or not. I mean, it's weird for these teams, Curtis, because they're mostly concerned with their players and their coaches if they can go play the games. They certainly want all the fans there, and they're going to have, you know, protocols in place, but I don't think there's going to be some mask mandate at Arrowhead Stadium at an outdoor event.
No.
Right? Like they had last year when they had their practice at Arrowhead when they raised the flag the first time, and then when they had their games, you were supposed to go there and wear a mask, and, you know, they tried to tell you to or whatever. I mean, I don't think that's going to be happening this year. So I don't know. There's going to be plenty of things to talk about as this rolls along as we get closer and closer, because we're still about a month away from football in these stadiums in the regular season games, you know.
And their numbers are higher. I mean, the number of players, percentage of players, particularly for their age group, is higher in the NFL than it is in the country at large by a pretty wide margin.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the impact of something going wrong there is catastrophic as far as a team is concerned, particularly with the new guidelines. So peer pressure will still be, I can't imagine a larger peer pressure than an NFL locker room, but there are people who are clearly
opposing NFL locker room too, because if they end up not having a game, the other team's not going to get paid, and if they all point the finger at you,
talks about the shield and the brotherhood, and that's, you know, that's unlike any other sport. But when people are the infighting in between teams and in between players in one locker room is going to be interesting as this plays out, because you know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and so we just haven't seen anything publicly.
It's already happening, because we've seen, you know, Mike Zimmer got hot, the Minnesota Vikings coach, because they got one quarterback practicing, right? And they're under different rules. I mean, the coaches don't have a choice.
Nope.
Either you do
or you're out.
And they haven't done that with the players, because the players have a union, and they, you know, have to negotiate these things. And it's always been kind of weird, because coaches are coaches and players are players, and you think they're all on the same team, but sometimes there's a disconnect between them, because a coach wants what's best for a player, but they also, maybe that's not what's best for the team. You know, whether you get a contract extension or whatever, they just want you to be available to play. And these have got to be some really interesting conversations that have happened in these coaching rooms, in the player meeting rooms, and I mean, it's going to be wild.
Text back and forth between players on opposite sides of that fence. Dude, what's happening? Dude, don't tell me what to do type of... I mean, that's...
Well, what I think, and I've thought about this, you know, like the OTAs and all that stuff. The teams that are the best teams that are the most cohesive message generally have high vaccination rates and high participation in the OTAs. And that's where the Chiefs have been.
Yes.
But we know not everybody on the team is vaccinated.
Absolutely.
They say 95% have started their vaccination. And the wristbands aren't 100% because sometimes they just forget to put a wristband on.
Right.
Or sometimes they don't have it on when you can see them or whatever.
Tell.
So you don't really know. Starting the process takes about 5 weeks to get it done. You can have your first shot, then it's 3 weeks, and then it's 2 weeks after that. So it's a 5-week deal, which is about the length of training camp. So if a bunch of guys were like, okay, they started it and they got their first shot when they got there last Tuesday or something, then they're going to get their second shot next week. Right? Last Tuesday? No, the Tuesday. Then one Tuesday, then Tuesday. So, like, sometime next week. And then they would be fully vaccinated probably by the time some of the preseason games get going. And the rules
Which
are different.
What,
Even if you test positive.
Saturday?
If you test positive and you've been vaccinated, you have different protocols than if you test positive and you weren't vaccinated. I mean, they've set this thing up to try to encourage that. So, I don't know. We'll watch it as it goes along. It's going to be interesting in every city. And it's pretty boring here in Kansas City on that front. Not nearly the story it is in a lot of places. Not nearly the story it is. Okay, so let's hear one soundbite here from Andy Reid before we take a break and get to Stephen St. John. But Andy Reid, yesterday the big story was Patrick Mahomes was throwing interceptions, right? The whole thing's, we're over this. It's okay. Mahomes is going to be just fine. But the good news was for Chiefs who want the linebackers to be good because they're good young players is they were the ones picking off Patrick Mahomes, most notably Willie Gay got one, and Nick Bolton got one as well. And I think that's good news. Here's Andy Reid on those guys making those plays.
Yeah, it's good to see those linebackers doing that. You know, you're trying to fit the ball into the tight windows there. And for those guys to react the way they have, I mean, I think that does nothing but make us better. So, I'm okay with that.
Tell us a bit more about what you've seen from Willie Gay and Nick Bolton out there so far in camp.
Yeah, listen, I like both of them. They're making plays. And so... I was curious to see how they would do the pads on with the run game coming at them, and I thought they did a nice job of that. Good instincts, like what I've seen, yeah.
Coach, speaking of Gay specifically, he was coming off the injury at the end of last year. How did he just look coming off the injury in the camp?
Yeah, you know, he stayed up here the whole offseason and worked, and he's doing good. I mean, he's really busted his tail, so it's refreshing. He's got such a positive attitude. You guys deal with him, you know that.
He was... delightful to talk to on Friday. I mean, he's excited about year two and being more into the book, the playbook, and knowing kind of what's up. I've said this a bunch this last couple of weeks, I expect these year two guys to make big leaps because year one was tough for them.
Yeah. And I think Willie Gay was one that picked off the one that was where it appeared Noah Gray sat down in a route and turned for the ball, and the ball was to his left.
Making plays.
So maybe that was a mistake, maybe by
you
a
catch
tight
the
end.
Ball.
But still, you got to be in the right spot.
Yeah.
So Willie Gay made that play because, one, he was in the right spot, and two, he was aware.
They've done a nice job.
I
watched 2 days of practice up there. He popped out both days, and that was without even making these plays. So we'll see how it goes. Stephen St. John will join us next, and we'll talk much more about the Chiefs.
Before we have some breaking NBA news, Steph Curry has agreed to a 4-year, $215 million extension with
good
the Warriors, making him the first player in history to sign two $200 million plus contracts.
Oh, good for him.
And Carmelo Anthony has agreed to a 1-year deal to join the Lakers.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Really?
I'm not sure. That's real.
Christ.
Our buddy Ross Villarreal in Houston put, what was his tweet? Oh, LeBron James is the worst GM ever.
So he's bringing. They have Russell.
Yeah,
and Carmelo.
Yep. They play with four basketballs now. That's the only thing that's also just being tweeted out now by Woj. Oh no, it's still just one.
No, just one. One ball. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
What's happening with my team?
That's not pretty. That's not pretty. All right, we'll take a quick break here on the program. We're underway. We're going to talk some Chiefs football with Stephen St. John next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Well, spank my ass and call me Charlie. Isn't this exciting?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo, joined by Curtis Siebold, Jed Marshall, and our good friend Stephen St. John from up in St. Joseph, Missouri, the site of your first freshman year and second sophomore year. How did it work? How many credits did you leave Missouri Western with?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? I was here for 2 years. Whatever. I mean, a full-time student for 2 years, so I think I was, so I was here, so I took a year off between high school and college.
Gap year.
So strike that. And then I was at Penn Valley for a little bit, but then I broke my ankle and quit, so that was bad.
How'd you break your ankle? Did you slip and fall, buddy? What happened?
Actually playing football on Van Brunt in front of my house, and I was running to catch a pass with some of the neighbor kids, and I stepped in a hole that was covered by long grass, and it popped. It dislocated. They took me out of there in an ambulance. It was pretty bad. And then my mom lost her marbles because I did not have health insurance. So they're long, great story, feel good story to tell you about. So then I was a year. Then I came up here, so I graduated in 90. So what's that? So that would have been my 90, 91. I'd skip. So I came up here from 91, 92, 92, 93.
Yeah.
And then I went to UMKC, and I didn't graduate till 96. It was a long, winding road. So I spent my freshman and sophomore,
winding road. It's always
and
a
long road. And then I left. I lived in the dorms for a year, and I kept a dorm room sophomore year, but I commuted a lot.
Oh, just so like a little honeypot up there, a little separate dorm room.
Steven, don't let Lebo take shots at you just because you took a different path. We're not all like Lebo.
Yeah, it was a far different path.
I like the idea of a safe house up there, little place you can have, you know.
It was a safe house. It was. You know, I had my roommate Jim Clutter to watch my stuff. Well, I needed to get away. It was a little weekend getaway for me.
People would come in and say, "Jim, do you have a roommate?" He goes, "I think so. I don't know. Haven't seen him in a bit."
Yeah,
he's around.
Yeah, I was mysterious. And sometimes I'd just be there. I would just appear, then I'd leave for a week. So
you know, getting it done. You were doing the virtual school before it was cool, man.
Yeah, something like that, I guess.
Remote learning.
whatever you want to call it, I did it.
Remote learning. All right, Stephen, we had a little extra long practice today up at camp. What was the deal? Why'd that thing go so long?
That was the first day of pads. Everyone's fired up. Coaches are fired up. You had the twinkle in Andy Reid's eye with some hitting and full pads on. So I kind of figured that was going to go long. Spirited practice out there a long time. It was a lot of fun, obviously, for the people that have been watching every day and just, you know, watching them with no pads. This was certainly a step in the right direction as we get closer and closer to real football. But now they're out there being physical, out there getting after it. And so the players liked it. I know Andy Reid liked it a lot, and it was certainly a lot more fun to watch than we've seen so far in training camp.
So the only kind of news and notes from camp today is Tyreek Hill wasn't really a participant. He kind of was, then he was in the medical tent working out for a while, then he left. They said tendonitis in his knee. Put that on top of last week, Travis Kelce missed a couple of days with a, you know, tight back and hip, they said. Are these just kind of veteran kind of half days off or days off, as it were, or are these kind of situations where we should have any real concern over whether or not these guys are going to be healthy?
I'm back. Something happened. I don't know what's going on
But, you had a quick drop there. But, I mean, Tyreek wasn't practicing today, and Travis Kelce missed a little bit last week. Are these just kind of veterans? We're not going to have them push too hard? Or should we be concerned that these guys are getting a little bit older and may not be as healthy as they used to be?
Load management. So Tyreek Hill showed up for practice, and he was in pads. And he had one of those patellar tendon bands on his knee, you know, and so we kind of noticed that. And they went out there and started to go through practice and then stopped and took off his pads and then went into the tent and was lifting weights. And then after a while, he left and just started to walk up the hill, and Juan Thornhill was behind him, and he just after he took his pads off and lifted weights for a little bit, walked slowly up the hill, and he was gone for the rest of the morning. And then Andy Reid, as he said, mentioned it was tendonitis in the knee that just kind of popped up. Well, it was he had something on the knee, he had that band on the knee, so it was clearly something that was a small issue going into practice, and I'm quite sure that they're not going to push him on the first day of pads if he's got an issue with his knee. You got to take care of him. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, guys like that. I mean, not that they don't need training camp, but you know what you're going to get out of them, and they take great care of their bodies, and there's never been any question about the work ethic or preparation for, you know, for Tyreek Hill and guys like that, and like you said, Travis Kelce. So err on the side of caution. Hey, look, everyone should be just totally freaked out. Look at what could happen in the first week of camp. If you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, you're about done after what they've gone through. Oh. Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson, the all-world offensive lineman, now both these bizarre matching foot injuries. They're going to have the same surgery and going to both be out between 5 and 12 weeks. Well, that'll take the wind out of your sails right before camp even starts.
Yeah, that's rough stuff. And you mentioned Thornhill, too. He's out with a groin injury, but he was out there standing around or doing whatever they want in the medical tent. I guess that's a good sign that he's not hurt, right? But I'm beginning to worry a little bit about him being someone who's just always going to have something.
Yeah, he was out there, in shorts and a jersey and had a sleeve on that right leg, and they said it's a groin strain. And so he watched some practice and then walked up the hill and back to the locker room, I would imagine, to get treatment at the same time that Tyreek Hill did. But it seems like a minor injury, but it is disappointing because now I think this was going to be the year, and we were expecting Thornhill to have a full grasp of the playbook, be comfortable as a veteran, and he had said that this was the first time he's felt like totally 100% and he's good to go. And so hopefully, again, they're just being cautious because this is a guy that will be and can be a dynamic playmaker in that secondary if he is if he's healthy. I mean, I expect him to have, again, if he's healthy, to have a breakout year. And so we'll just have to see if they're being careful. Like you said, he was out there walking around, walked up the hill. He's not on a cart or anything like that. So that's good news. It seems like it's just a minor injury. But they're going to be careful with guys like that, especially the first day in pads.
They've got some familiar faces in the defensive backfield for sure. But there's some guys back there who I know you got a chance to talk to Coach Reid about today who are looking for kind of second chance stuff here in Kansas City, who are looking to find themselves in that defensive backfield room.
Well, they've got the pedigree, two former first round picks, DeAndre Baker, and he was a first round pick of the Giants, and then his bizarre exit from the Giants that I still quite don't understand what the hell that all was all about. But he became a free agent, and the Chiefs were able to recruit him and bring him to Kansas City. And then Mike Hughes, of course, was acquired in the offseason in a trade with the Minnesota Vikings, another former first-round pick that he's battled injury. He's had leg issues, hip issues, and so he's trying to get healthy. And so I asked Andy Reid what he's seen so far from DeAndre Baker and Mike Hughes.
Well, I like both of them. Baker's coming off that injury, so it's good to see him working and challenging himself. That's not an easy thing to do. And I just look at the progress he's made from the mini camp to now, rookie camp to now, and it's just he's every day he's getting a little bit better. And I know he's pushing through some fatigue. You know, you get tired, so it's my hat goes off to him for that. And then the other kid, listen, I like what I've seen there. I mean, he's competing out here. It's new for him, but he's right in there battling, and he's created some great competition.
And so Hughes had a torn ACL and neck issues over the past three seasons with the Vikings. And, you know, we saw DeAndre Baker break his leg in the one game he played for the Chiefs last year. And so it's good. I didn't know how quickly DeAndre Baker would be back out on the field. And Mike Hughes looks like he's healthy. He's getting time with the ones, especially with no Charvarius Ward out there today. Charvarius Ward, Andy said he had something done with his eye or eye procedure or something in the off season, and then he got poked in the eye and it aggravated it, and that's why he wasn't in practice today. So a poke in the eye, an eye issue for Charvarius Ward. So you saw Mike Hughes running with the ones out there on the field today. And so look, you know, Bashaud Breeland was a good corner, and he fit well in the system, fit well in this locker room. It was a good fit for this football team, helped him win a championship. And they let him go to the Minnesota Vikings. And so you would think that, and look, Snead is I think, an ascending player. He could be a star. Ward is solid. Rashad Fenton's played a lot of football and helped this team win a championship. But they've got these lottery tickets in Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker. You would love to see one of them pan out. Obviously, if both of them pan out and start to live up to some of that potential that made them first-round picks, that would be huge. But I'm just the way I look at it, if one of those guys can turn into a big-time contributor for the secondary, they should be okay. You know, they also added Will Parks in the offseason, and he's a guy that can play safety, he can play slot corner, he can play nickel, do a little bit of everything. And then, of course, you got, you know, Sorensen and Matthew and Thornhill, who we talked about before back there. But you'd love to be able to see one of these guys, one of these former first-round picks, step up, stay healthy, and have a good, solid season for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so Andy Reid seems to like what he sees so far. We've seen a lot of both of them out there on the field early on in camp, and hopefully they'll continue to progress. And one, or hopefully, if they're real lucky, both of them turned into good, solid contributors on this football team.
In modern football injury terminology, Charvarius Ward has an eye.
He's got an eye.
Ward's got an eye.
Right. That's
an eye for an eye. All right, Stephen, we don't normally do this when someone from the station is on, but I want to do a quick Final Four with you. Petro's not here,
no.
But I'm going to do a quick Final Four brought to you by the University of Kansas Health
this
System.
This better not be offensive.
It's not going to be offensive.
Don't be putting me in a...
Number right, one, boy. What's your favorite class you took at Mo West?
Political science.
Political science, very good. Number two, did they throw shrimp last night at the Japanese Steakhouse, and did everyone catch it if they did throw it?
No, it was they did not have the hibachi grill, though we ordered hibachi food, and they had sushi, and it was delicious, and so very good. But no shrimp throwing. I threw a lot of food in my mouth on my own, but no shrimp thrown at me or my family.
All right, you've had 2 days up there. Who is like the camp darling? Someone who people didn't maybe think was going to be something going in, but has popped up. And who is someone people need to watch for the next couple of weeks to maybe make the Chiefs?
I mean, Willie Gay's been the most exciting guy to watch in camp. He's been terrific.
He's
awesome. I just want to mention Nick Bolton. I don't care.
I want a Jesse Haynes type.
Jody Fortson.
There you go. Jody Fortson. He's the guy.
Jody Fortson's like, you know, he's 6'6", 230. He used to be a wide receiver, making the transition to tight end. But see, you can use this guy every year. Marcus Kemp is like, he's balling. He's up here making great catches, looks terrific. But I mean, Jody Fortson, is that kind of a sexy pick? The other guy, and the other guy, now he's not, and Coach talked about today, Devon Key, an undrafted free agent from Western Kentucky, he was running with the ones. And so he looks like the kind of guy, and I saw Tyshire projected him to make the team. He's the kind of guy how many undrafted free agents do you expect to make it, out of training camp? So I would say Key on the defense, and even though the numbers don't suggest he'll make it, Jody Fortson sure is fun to watch up here in training camp.
And finally, it's James Hetfield's 58th birthday. Happy birthday to Metallica's frontman. What's your favorite Metallica song?
So here's the deal. I have to listen to Nate all the time talk about how he doesn't like Metallica. He doesn't like music from the 90s. And you know what irritates me? But just whatever. It's Nate. We deal with it. And I'm like, how do you not like Metallica? And so then the Jed doesn't like Metallica?
No. Yeah.
I do not.
What's happening?
Maybe Ned and Jay can go to a party somewhere. I don't know.
I like Nate. I'll have a party
with him. Nate would love to play the newest Lord CD for you.
It's a clean, instant classic, he says, right? What's your favorite Metallica
exactly
song?
Right.
We got a break.
Jeez. For whom the bell tolls.
There we go. Thank you, Stephen St. John. The bell is tolling.
Is that bad? Does that make you mad?
No,
you
that's
music
great.
Snob?
I love it.
The bell tolls.
That's one of my top five, so that's great. I love it, and the bell is tolling for us to take a break and for you to probably go take a nap because you got to get up early tomorrow morning. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, there's Stephen St. John with the Chiefs up in training camp in St. Joseph, Missouri.
The program with Soren Petro.
No, I'm not dense. I just have no imagination.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Let me have a Diablo sandwich, a Dr. Pepper. Make it fast. I'm in a damn hurry. You want something?
Hush, puppy, Dave.
We got no time for that crap.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Curtis. Jed didn't like my extra work I put into that.
That movie was on a couple weeks ago. Still fun to watch, man. That's still a great 90 minutes.
Do you want a Diablo sandwich?
I like another one.
I'm going to tell you where to go get a Diablo sandwich. That's at Joe's. Tuesdays only. They brought these by today, brisket Diablo sandwiches, and they were thumbs up everywhere, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
And it was... Diablo, okay, it's a little bit spicy. This is spicy smoked pastrami brisket on rye.
Oh, so good.
And
high quality bread, too. They get it.
A little spicy mayo, and then this slaw that we assembled our own.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the jalapeno slaw.
Which then they give it to you, so it's not.
Yeah, you can do some.
It's crispy. If you put the slaw on first, it's going to be soggy by the time you put it on fresh.
And you put a little bit of that Night of the Living BBQ sauce on there.
Man.
And it was a spicy treat we had today. So if you want to get a brisket Diablo sandwich, Tuesdays only. They're not doing this every day. Today's Diablo day, okay? It's Tuesdays, $12.49 with a side. Sandwich only is just $10.49. It was tasty. They brought them by here.
It has a kick. It was so good I plowed through the first half, and I got the second half, and I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
There it is. Hang on.
So I've if you've ever wanted to get a Diablo sandwich,
good, man.
You go get a Diablo sandwich at Joe's on Tuesdays.
You know, as you could always expect at Joe's, just the best quality meat you can imagine.
They got hush puppies?
Super tender.
Nobody got
super
time
tasty.
For that crap. Hush puppies?
Bread, top shelf bread. I mean,
Junior?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
I've never had, it's kind of like a Carolina type with the slaw on top,
right?
But it's almost like it's a Carolina style pastrami with some fire.
Yeah,
it's damn good.
Very, very good, super good.
You'll appreciate this, Todd. We just had a great listener of the station say thank you for playing "Friend of the Devil" instead of "Stupid Metallica."
Oh, really? Who was it?
A smart person.
Smart person. We could have played Devil's Dance or something. It's not a good Metallica song. We played
"Friend
of the Devil."
You don't like the Dead, Curtis?
Because
Dead's
Diablo
okay.
And Devil. See?
That's fine.
I said to Jed, I'm going to find this thing. He said, well, you can go ahead and find it. I'm not going to help you do anything. I'm just trying to make the show fun for Joe's. Okay?
I think I'm a guy who doesn't like Metallica. You don't like the Dead, Curtis?
The Grateful Dead sounds nothing like Metallica.
I know what I'm saying. It's crazy that I wouldn't like the
great,
idea that I wouldn't like the Dead is insane. But you
they're
like
great
Metallica.
American bands from the Bay. Okay?
One's better than the other. That's
well,
neither here nor there.
You know
who I like
great.
Better
two
than
the best
both,
American bands of all time.
You know who I like better than both Metallica and the Dead?
Rush.
Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Who we're hearing over
right
her
now.
Shoulder.
Right now. Anyway, go get yourself a brisket Diablo sandwich. And if you want, you can get a Dr. Papa. Because they have that there at Joe's. We have time for that. It's very good.
Jackie Gleason. Just what an absolute
great
gem.
Actor in that,
that
show,
character
too.
Was.
Amazing. Tim Grunard, next.
Nobody
Chiefs Hall of Famer on the program.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, Quentin Nelson, one of five players to be named first team All-Pro in each of his first three seasons. Name any of the others. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.